Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
It is back to Moneyline. Hour number two now in full effect. Get your phone calls in 844-843-6879. Finding out where JP is going tonight. Prop bet from game number 2 in a nice game with a close spread, 1.5, and a beautiful total, close to 240. I'm looking, I guess, towards player points here. Does he go the, again, here's what we're trying to figure out. The Draymond Green, Kevon Looney route, or the Steph Curry, you know, De'Aaron Fox route. That's, I think, what we're trying to find out here.
So as I try and dip back in the JP catalog, he's a Steph better. He's a Steph better. And he's bet his points before. I know we always think Steph in the threes, but I'm going to say he's going Steph Curry over his listed points prop.
Let's see here. All right, I'm going to go. It can't be five. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to go Sabonis over 18.5. I'll go the opposite way. Not a super frontline guy, but a guy that's in the mix always. JP, who you got?
Yeah, Donnie, your logic goes into it, but it's not the bet I took. I took De'Aaron Fox under 27.5.
Ah, by the way, 28.5 here at FD. So there you go, better price. So under tonight in a high-flying upscore game. The one that we were talking about, JP, by the way, was Malik Monk, who gets into the 30s, and then the game two, like, yeah, so what, 16.5? Like, it seems like that's that low-hanging fruit. It's like, what? 16.5? He's going to blow through that. He's ready. He fits perfectly into this series.
The big thing with that Monk price, if you were to make me bet over-under, the reason I would bet over, despite the fact that it feels like you're overreacting, is it wasn't like, Rui Hachimura, right? Rui Hachimura went 5 of 6 from 3, and it's like, well, that's obviously not happening again. Well, Malik Monk shot 14 free throws.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just being uber aggressive, attacking the basket. We talk about this all the time. Volume, 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 volume. And Malik Monk had ridiculous volume in that game. And that game, by the way, I mean, that pace. So I'm trying to be very careful in this game tonight with the Kings and the Warriors, because I could unload a, you know, NFL playoff game-esque card on this type of thing with confidence based on game one. Just give me the over, give me the team totals over, give me the Steph over, give me the Clay over, give me the five, right? Because they cashed so many overs in that opening game without incredible efficiency. It was volume-driven. De'Aaron Fox on, he has a three-point prop of 1.5. It's expensive. But he took 8 threes. 8 threes against Golden State. De'Aaron Fox, I believe on the season, I think it's 14-4 In games where he's taken at least eight triples, he's made two or more threes. The volume that you got in that game is mouthwatering.
Yes, and also, do you take anything into effect from handicapping this? And this meaning, Draymond Green said late at night, I guess, in his room doing his podcast, mm-hmm. Hey, look, Fox is really good. Monk scoring 32 is ridiculous. Does that mean, like, yeah. In the locker room, they're like, hey, look, we didn't really pay attention to the guy. This is what he was doing. This can't happen again. Not to say they're double-teaming Malik Monk, but now where he wasn't on the radar, it's like, hey, worry about some of these other guys. You know what? He's not dropping 30 again on us tonight. Which, again, his points prop's not 29.5. It's 16.5. But I always find it interesting where it's like, okay, let me see what we're going to get out of Malik Monk tonight because we're actually going to pay attention to him.
So I get your point. I think we're seeing that, by the way. There's just been some unusual honesty, which I appreciate this postseason. Like, Desmond Bane is like, yeah, I mean, that's the best shooting night Rui's ever had. I think we'll test him to see if he can do it again, which is, like, not usually what you hear. I think my question, though, again, to that comment of, like, if Draymond's point is, that's unacceptable, right? Listen,
yes,
De'Aaron Fox is an all-star, he's an all-NBA guy, he's going to get his. But we cannot let a guy like Malik Monk have 32. And I don't think that's disrespect to Monk, right?
No.
Malik Monk averages 32 for a series. The Kings are going to sweep this series type of thing. But if the Warriors are like, man, we didn't expect Monk to be so aggressive, well, then you had a bad scout, right? You had a bad scout. Or the Kings saw something there. The idea that now every time Malik Monk is going to catch, like you said, it's over-attention. Well, that's how you get beat. And all of a sudden, give me, Malik Monk assist, right? Those are the kind of things that you'll start to see there. And what are you going to – because here's the other thing, Donnie. What are you going to shift your defensive assignments in that
– Yeah.
Is Fox not the main focus anymore?
Yeah.
And now it's Malik Monk that can't be.
Yeah, no. I want to see how much of those words are actual factors where it's like, hey – we understand he can't, but that doesn't mean, like, okay, we're going to leave Malik Monk wide open and he can't score 32 again because he won't make wide open shots. It just had that sort of tinge to me where he was saying, we let him get whatever he wanted, and he did. We can't do that again. So at least there's going to be some resistance against Malik Monk. But again, 30 points is a lot different than 16.5, and we'll see if that plays into it. And other guys, if he's getting watched, I mean, Keegan Murray is a little bit more wide open. Kevin Huerter is a little bit more wide open. We'll see how it plays into it, but it's a good game. If you talked about one of the series that you wanted to watch through the first round, it's probably the series that you want to watch for me. You have great basketball players both sides, electric atmospheres, and a close series from what you anticipate. And it went exactly the way I thought game one. Not a blowout either way. The Kings are going to win because the Warriors can't win on the road. And I'm looking forward to see how the Warriors respond, which usually during the regular season is another loss on the road. So let's see if it plays out that way. A lot more to get to. Get your phone calls in, 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159, right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As nice as the weather was last week across the country, looks like we're getting it a little bit in the opposite direction, Kevin, because we do have a delay up in Boston. They're saying they are going to resume the game at 2:35 Eastern. That's a 5-1 lead in the third inning for the Angels. Ohtani certainly not coming back for that one. The Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago White Sox already canceled, Kevin, and that's what we talked about in the early line. I'm like, boy, if you have 15, 20-mile-an-hour winds in 44-degree weather, they're not really – I don't care if it's not raining. They're not playing baseball in that, and they're not going to. The other game that really had an issue was the Guardians and the Tigers. That was the one I believe had like 25 miles an hour blowing out the dead center field. But I guess the real feel of the game would have been like 25 degrees. That one has also been canceled. So we'll wait on a couple other games. So not a great card overall in baseball, but you also don't have a lot of those spots like, hey, man, 86 degrees and the wind is blowing out. A lot of colder conditions, which again is what you get that mixed bag in April. There's still a handful of games that I do think are decent, but a couple games already off the board playing and two games now canceled here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we were going over the slate this morning as you were kind of breaking down the weather. It almost feels like maybe we have one last kind of push here from you know, bad weather ruining baseball. Yeah. And by the time we hit May, though, it really should be all systems go. I mean, I guess that it's April 17th, right? So we're about 2 weeks away from getting to what again? It doesn't necessarily mean there won't be days in between, but I'm talking about not having to worry like this any longer. Because last week it felt like, I mean, that one day Yankee Stadium, and I know the Twins did all the scoring, but you were like, ah, man, it's all right, pitchers, but it's 85 degrees, winds 15 miles out, dead center. And the Twins put up 9 runs in the first inning, cashed the full game over.
Yeah, it happens. Kevin, you're allowed to hit singles, as we know in this marathon. Yeah, so it's the way it goes sometimes. But big-time pitching matchups today. I mean, DeGrom is back out there, but he's going up against Lyles in Kansas City. Should have an easy night with that one. We talked Fried and your boy Weathers this morning, even Wisniewski in a pitching duel here with Mueller, who was actually the opening day starter for Oakland. Good luck with that one. So not a lot to love today. Maybe the best of it will be a hitter prop parlay later tonight, 10 p.m., Mets and the Dodgers. But I'm not seeing a lot that I'm in love with until we see some of the starting lines. But I'll tell you the one thing, though, that keeps popping up, Kevin. Tampa Bay and Cincinnati. 51 degrees with 12-mile-an-hour winds to 15-mile-an-hour winds blowing out, which, again, the real feel is going to be in the 40s, which is freezing cold. But you know what you're getting into the cycle now is every single day, unless you're facing, I don't know, Jacob DeGrom, like the Rays are a play with like multiple guys. And you can even say like, oh, you know, it's mixed bag. Like, no, like every time you see me, Kevin, when I retweet or tweet stuff out, it's always the Rays with 2 or 3 guys. And it's rare that they come up small. Like I don't cash. Like if they're being that good where so many guys on base, so many guys hitting with runners scoring position, they're a really fun team right there where they used to be like, man, their team total's 3.5. Can they get there? I don't know.
And I think the big thing for you and anyone that's been riding along, not that you were, okay, maybe you weren't on the Rays game 1, game 2, game 3, but
yeah,
you've been involved with Rays games for a while now.
Yes.
Right? At some point, this will stop, probably.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, if I had a check, they might be on pace for one of the greatest scoring seasons in the history of baseball. Mm-hmm. But you've already had success with this team, which allows you to continue to come back to them and hope to keep that success going. I think the question, and I'm glad you brought this up, how long would it take, if at all, to where their full season numbers, you go, ooh, okay, it's lost its luster. Do you have ways to kind of thread through that there?
Well, here's the interesting thing. You know, we're a little bit early in the season where you technically, it's hear me out on this. You want relative information, which means, and you'll hear me say this throughout the summer, I don't care if a pitcher dominated on April 17th when it's August 17th. It doesn't mean anything. It's that balance that once you get 30 days into the season, how do you quantify those numbers across the board? Because humans are playing baseball. They're not computers, right? They're going to go in hot streaks. Players come to the ballpark sometimes after going, you know, hey, last 2 nights, man, 7 hits combined. Like, I'm ready to roll here, as opposed to 3 weeks before that they couldn't hit anything. There are differences where you can't just ride out blind numbers. So I usually find myself with, like, the pitchers. I like 60 days on the pitchers because that gives me, again, they're not hitters. So, hey, Donnie, you had 50 at-bats last week for this batter, right? You don't get that for a pitcher. You might have typically, if you're lucky, 2 games in a week, if their starts line up, or maybe 1 game. So I need to see like a sample size of how's he done in his last 7, 8, or 9 starts. But for a hitter, you don't need that. Like if Aaron Judge went for the month of April and didn't hit a home run, but you're betting him in July where it's like, hey, man, he's hit home runs in 7 of his last 8 games. You're not worried about going, okay, well, let's balance it out with the season. Like, no, he's hot right now. He's going up to that plate, and it looks like it's a beach ball to him. That's the confidence factor. So pitchers, I need a little bit longer term to sort of quantify the numbers, where hitters, I need about 2 or 3 weeks to say, he's got 30 at-bats in, what's he doing? Yeah, he's lighting up left-handed pitching. Good, I'll go with that tonight. As opposed to, hey, Donnie, he didn't hit left-handed pitching in April when it's August. Who cares what he did in April?
And the Rays today matched up with Hunter Green, who we talked about is supposed to be one of these big arms for Cincinnati. The strikeout number is something we talked about on our baseball preview show on the early line in terms of full season long numbers. Now it's early, but are his early numbers kind of representative of somebody that they think can be a future ace, or is it early struggles?
It's a little bit of early struggles, but it's one of those where he's that type of pitcher that when it clicks in a game, it's like, why am I taking hitter props against this guy? Like, he's just blasting through. Because the one thing you see is, against right-handed pitchers, again, it's a 4.11 weighted on base percentage, which probably means he's walking a little bit too much to right-handed batters. But his xFIP is very good, and his strikeout numbers are off the charts. And sometimes that's all that matters. You go up against a guy who has electric stuff, and he's on, it doesn't really matter what you do. Because you're not going to put together an inning, which means, like, hey, we got three base runners there. And if you do, second and third, one out. All right, I got Wander Franco up. Strike three. Like, oh, man, come on, man. Of course, because that's what the guy does. He's a strikeout pitcher. But having said that, again, you're trying to line up right-handed bats. Diaz been on fire through 43 at-bats against right-handed pitchers. Arozarena, 363 weighted on base percentage. Paredes, a 214 ISO, depending on how you want to balance it out. Because usually you say to yourself, hey, Green's a righty, let me go lefty. But that's not necessarily what the numbers are telling you. The numbers are telling you on the early season through, you know, what, 66 batters, it's better to go right. But then again, if you just take the broad approach and go, no, hold on. Just as a team, it doesn't matter what pitcher, lefty or righty, this team is cranking, and they are. So those numbers are fun. They'll settle down, and they'll get back to, okay, you know, five good at-bats, four bad at-bats, five good at-bats, one of those type of things. But right now, they're 6+ every single night to the plus column, and that's what's fun.
It's incredible. It is incredible the way that they've been able to light it up. Do you think have you been looking at, like, the season-long baseball awards? I just wanted to see, like, early movement, who's done what. We talked this morning, you know, the NL Cy Young's moved around a bit. Acuna's already put a little, not, you know, major difference. He's plus 400, but I believe he's half of the next closest guy. Soto's bought back to 10-1. Otani's come down a little bit in the AL MVP race. Is there a world where the Rays team success could matter in that race? Because we talk about it, team success really doesn't factor in to baseball MVPs the way it does every other MVP. But could they be so historic that someone would say, hey, what about a Rosarena? Hey, what about Wander Franco type of thing?
No, because baseball is such a statistical sport individually that, you, again, like, the best player in the league, it's okay, it's Shohei Ohtani, though that team stinks. But we don't take that into account because it's not his fault that the rest of the eight players, he's one of nine, stinks out there on the field. Now, granted, Trout is one of those guys. But I just look at, like, let's just take Pete Alonso for the New York Mets. MVP market, he's 9-1 right now. If Pete Alonso hits 55 home runs, I don't care what Ronald Acuna and the Braves did. I don't care what Matt Olson and the Braves did. Juan Soto in San Diego. If he's far and away the home run king and he's only hitting 265 and he hits 55 bombs and the Mets don't win the division, he's probably going to be MVP. That's the way baseball works. We want those eye-popping numbers. And if you're 10 clear of the next guy in the home run market, you're probably just going to be named the MVP, and that's the way it goes. A lot more to get to today. Hour number two of Moneyline. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're about to get back underway here in Major League Baseball. Angels-Red Sox 5-1, top third, 2-on-2 out. We'll wait for this one to return. Don't think Otani's going to take the mound. And who knows if even Bello, who wasn't pitching all that well for the Red Sox, will return also. But in the NBA, they're still working out, I guess, the final details, I should say, and releasing them about the new collective bargain agreement. And the thing that has everybody, I guess, checking is, you know, okay, the top player is going to make more money and the low-end guy is going to make a little bit more money. We get all that, sharing the piece of the pie. But Woj has a tweet that says ESPN reporting with at Bobby Marks, because apparently Woj can't get a bit of information himself anymore. I don't know where this is going ever. 23-24 NBA in-season tournament schedule is expected to include quarters, semis, and finals in early December. Prize money, $500,000 per player on the winning team, $200,000 per player on the runner-up, $100,000 per semifinal loser, and just for participation, each player will get $50,000. So I look under the comments. One says, okay, $50,000 per loser. Why not make it $1 million? Sounds like the Europa League. L decision. Role players about to cook, and we don't care.
Okay, so let's chat a little, though.
Yes.
Because the play-in just took place.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are play-in supporters, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, correct.
And I saw some other play-in supporters say, the play-in success is why I want to give the in-season tournament a chance. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. It does fit along the lines of something that you and I say with stuff like this. More basketball. It's not usually in our nature to complain about more basketball.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have some stakes to it, right? At least that's the plan. We like stakes. We like when guys are competing for something. Okay, that's pretty good. I think there's one very obvious question mark, though.
Yeah.
And it is, who is playing in this? That's the big one. And I know people are going to say, oh, come on. You think these guys aren't going to, you know, 500K? You don't think these guys are going to go out there and try and really go out and get after it? I don't know. I don't.
How many games is it? Is it single elimination? I assume that's what it is.
If it is, it has to be. Is it essentially, Don, where the NBA is going to say, like, look, we're just going to do a little March Madness, single game elimination
yes.
in the middle of the year? Because, you know, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Are you open to thinking this is good when you eventually see it play out? Or are you dead set on this being terrible?
Well, here's the issue I have. If things mean something, I'm in on it. I really am. Like, again, if they said, hey, they're going to add an extra two NBA teams, so instead of the play-in, like 10 teams, we're going to go to 12 yeah. teams. Oh, that's ridiculous. Like, no, because when you have things that mean something, I will watch and put it on my TV. It's why I rail on bowl season. Like, you're going to give me the Sugar Bowl with no meaning. Oh, you're talking about it means a lot to the kid. Sure it does. That's why they all skip it and head to the mm-hmm. pros, because of how meaningful it actually is. I know that we'll get eyes on it. It'll be interesting to watch first time around. But is it, like, honestly, when the tournament ends, and let's just say the Lakers won the tournament, mm-hmm. is LeBron James have a cigar in his mouth with that midseason trophy like it meant something? No.
Right.
Well, like, are they, hey, you won? He's like, yeah, it was
like
fun.
Check.
Yeah. Like, we won these four games. It was fun, but now we got to concentrate on the rest of the season. Do you see what I mean? Like, I just don't know how much this is going to hit for the players.
That is the worry, okay? The other worry for me is we have a problem right now, many say, with player participation, and our goal is to add basketball to the schedule? Like, that's what we're doing?
Uh-huh.
We're adding basketball games, Donnie?
Yeah.
Like, when is this taking place, right, is a huge question.
It says early December.
That's when it is, early December. So
yeah.
We're going to be...
First week of December. You're going to just start the season
2 months
and then break
the
it up.
Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do this? Okay, so here's the thing. Are we going to do this, do a mini break, and come back for Christmas?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going to. Now, that's going to get on my nerves, because you hit on something that most people don't think about. This isn't going to be, hey, the Sixers just played Tuesday night, and now Thursday night we're playing in the tournament. This really has an all-star feel, Kevin, where it's season ends on a pause on a Thursday. The following week starts the season. Mm-hmm. Then another four-game break. So theoretically, if your team is the Kings and you get knocked out round one, you're playing one time in 3 weeks in the middle of the season.
But it has to be that way, because you can't schedule other games because you don't know how far
Correct.
Teams are going to go in
yes.
season.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how spread out are these games going to be?
One arena? Where
yeah,
is it?
Right? What, like, you kind of
every arena?
You know, you really should do locations for it, NCAA
yeah.
style.
Yeah.
You really should. I don't know if they're going to, but you would, like, really, Donnie, again, like, copy March Madness. Start a game at 12, start a game at 2, and go all day.
Ooh.
Go all
Thursday,
day.
Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, like,
Sunday?
You know how you,
yeah.
yes, you know how you like
yeah.
it, right? Now, we've got to try and do something like that. Like, where, like, the final... Just being like in, you
yes.
know, wherever it's going to be, you know, Indianapolis. Get the final in Indianapolis, okay? We know that we all want the final to be. I mean, the final should just be in Vegas. It's fine, but there has to be time off at minimum after. I don't know about before, but there has to be time off after. The team that goes out there and wins your in-season tournament can't have a game in 2 days and be at a massive disadvantage because they won your in-season tournament and now hurting the regular season product.
Yeah, there's going to be a space. There's going to be a space out. Now, as you just brought up a pretty good point, they can make this fun if they do that. Meaning, have it a little bit off kilter. Have it on a Thursday where you have wall-to-wall games on Thursday and Friday during the day. You want people to watch, like you always talk about with like the USFL. Nobody cares about the USFL football on the weekend where other real sports are going on. We're outside of football season. Slap a USFL game at 1 o'clock here on Moneyline. You know what? Even though I won't bet it, don't really care about it, it'll be on my TV. Because why?
Yep.
There's nothing else to watch, and I just like to watch live sports, even if I technically don't even like the live sport that's on. So they can live, but it sounds to me like they're not going to liven it up. It'll just be, you know, the 2.5-week tournament. Your team gets knocked out.
Long.
Boring as hell. At night, a 9:30, 10 o'clock start, and it's like, so are we done this yet? When can we get back to the regular season?
Yeah, it can't be that long. It really shouldn't be that. Put the Eastern Conference teams in one. But I see, I also don't want that. I also don't want that. Like, I
want a hub, like at the Garden and the Staples.
The matchup should be different, though, Donnie. It shouldn't be East-West. I think you want unique matchups. Round one, Phoenix-Orlando. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it can't be Eastern Conference playoffs, Western Conference playoffs.
Standings previous? It wouldn't just be standings at the time, right?
Do a draw. Like they do in Champions League. This is Champions League anyway, right? Do a draw. I'm not even kidding.
But as it said, is it single eliminated? We don't know what it is. Like, it could be like the World Cup. You're in a group play, a group pool play.
I can't.
You know what I mean?
Long. I cannot. How long will the NBA in-season tournament be?
I guess it's going to be as long as, like, a summer league, like in Utah or Vegas. They're not that long, right?
Hold on a minute. Is this real?
What? What do you got?
They're taking away games next year?
I don't see any. What's it say?
So this is from April 9th of 2023.
Uh-huh.
Saying that there's going to be 80... The NBA schedule released in the offseason will include only 80 games apiece for each team. The teams that do not advance to the knockout stage will have two more games added to their schedule.
Wait a second. This is counting against the player's record?
The teams that reach the tournament finals will play 83 total games. Hold on a minute. Is this real or is this a proposal?
I don't know. That's got to be a proposal because that sounds like it's going to count against your record this in-season tournament.
This is crazy. You're telling me that we're losing games next? What's going on here? What?
Yeah.
No, this seems to be legit. Semifinals and finals held on a neutral site. The winner of each of the six pools, oh my goodness, is going to be
pooled. Oh, here it is.
Will advance
here
to the single elimination stage along with two wild card teams. It is the World Cup. Six pools, five teams apiece.
By the way,
pools will be comprised of teams from the same conference, but it does not mean same division.
There's a lot to be deciphered on this, to be honest. And because it sounds like they're counting these as real games. So I guess you have to care if you're an NBA player. You can't just let the backups cook.
But listen to this line. I'm so sorry if this ends up being fake, but it's on CBSSports.com.
Uh-huh.
On designated days during the first 6 weeks of the season, teams will play four group games. Which means, Donnie, that it's like, hey, today's game's a group game kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
You ready for a group game here, K-Dub?
Yeah, sure.
Bryce Young minus 1050 to be the number one overall pick.
I asked you about it during a break, and you told me to leave it alone.
No, you didn't, did you?
Of course I asked you.
I stepped away on one of the breaks. What did you ask me?
No, you know what I asked you. But we'll get to it on the other side.
That is called the off guard. That is massive. Oh, I know what you're asking.
Yeah, exactly.
And the X-Man's going to come up after the break, ready to get after here. I just didn't know any of these lines had changed like that. So, my goodness. Looks like the guarantee is in, people. You didn't explain yourself. And that's always an issue. Yeah. We'll be back to explain ourselves. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. By the way, K-Dub, remember at minus 10, 53 minutes ago, down to minus 700. On the FanDuel Sportsbook. I see BetMGM tweet out Bryce Young this morning, minus 350 to go number one overall. They now have him at minus 2,000 to go number one overall. So maybe there is a smokescreen. That's always the thing. Like, oh, Bryce Young is running away with it. Should you just take a small piece of Stroud at some ridiculous number?
Yeah, so if we can kind of talk about this with people here just quickly. So Tom Pelissero sends out a tweet that says Bryce Young has canceled his meetings which gives a really strong indication that he's going to go to the Carolina Panthers. And then the final note is he also met with the Texans.
Yes.
The final note is more important than the first note. If he met with the top two teams and received a promise from team two, we are drafting you.
Yes.
He doesn't need to meet with team three.
No,
so he's
correct.
Not a guarantee to go number one. He's a guarantee to go top two, Bryce Young. But I asked you, and we were talking about it more during the break, Bryce was minus 400. My odds, like, is it worth betting it? Like, it's because if you kind of know the way the draft stuff is, you knew the number was going to move.
Yeah.
However, it went to minus 1050. And by the time we just got back from break, people went, oh, overreaction, you misread the tweet, bang, 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 hit C.J. Stroud, and now it's settled at minus 700. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have price, you know, plus numbers on Bryce Young, even numbers on Bryce Young, obviously you feel great about him being minus 700. But if you were in the shoes that I were in an hour ago talking to you, if I had minus 400 and it went to minus 700, I don't really feel substantially better, right? We've seen crazier moves before. Bryce Young is a lock to go with one of the first two picks. I don't think he's a lock to go number one. Obviously favored, though.
And also, there's nothing stopping the team that sits number one overall just to come out and say, we're drafting Bryce Young. But the NFL doesn't want that. They like the suspense. They're not going to do that because the last thing they want is, okay, we have 1, 2, 3, and 4 already listed here before the draft even starts, which is what used to happen. Why? Because you didn't have a slotted pay scale. You actually had to negotiate with the guy to see if he was going to be the number one pick, and then they'd fall in line. So when the NFL draft came up, like, we already know the first three picks before the draft even starts, which is kind of ridiculous. But that's the way they used to get down. Let's get to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. The X-Man is calling in on a Monday, new week, new money, Radio Moneyline. What's up, X-Man?
None but plus money.
Oh, yes.
Got Tyrese Maxey to get 20 points.
Talk to me. Yeah, he's getting it.
You got Houston Astros on the money line.
Mm.
Dallas Stars in regulation.
Oh,
De'Aaron Fox under 27.5 and Golden State Warriors to win.
Shout out.
28-1.
Yeah. There it is. Start the week. You don't even got to bet the rest of the week, folks. Put that in, set it, bet it, forget it, 28-1. Ooh, I like hitting 28-1s. Telling you, man. Hitting that 25-1, which splashed into the account minus some, you know, hedges. It's always nice. It's always good fun. By the way, little mess around this weekend. FD Sportsbook Casino, K-Dub. Splashed the account a little bit this weekend.
Oh, you got it.
I did.
Now, I got to tell you, honestly, I wish you called me so I could have just listened because we were able to do that a different time. I just got to listen to you play the casino, and that was a treat. So I'm upset I missed out.
I'm going to send over a treat right now if I can figure out how this works, but it's on your way right now. You can take a look at what splashed yesterday, I think it was Saturday, I want to say. So splashed in a nice little one there to, you know, help out the boys here with some more future bets. But having said that, Bryce Young minus 700. So I'm going to ask you this question today. Does it mean it's over? Is Bryce Young the number one overall pick?
I don't think
Are we going to get that? Whoa! Look at that late fade. Here comes Stroud, 5-1, 4-1, 3-1, 2-1.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That is special. Man, I just got the thing you sent over. Look, I'll say this. I believe more than ever that the Texans want Bryce Young. I'm really starting to believe the Texans aren't drafting Stroud. Let's just say you grade Bryce Young in that Houston room at a 99, and you grade CJ at a 92, right? Mm-hmm. 92 is pretty good. But if you're the Texans, is it really worth it? Is it really worth that big of a decision if you don't have that grade on that player? Honestly, where you trade back, you take Will Anderson, whatever it might be. Like, I'm starting to really believe that the Texans, if they don't end up with Bryce Young, they're not going to draft a quarterback.
It is interesting because you sort of weigh the consequences where I guess you're figuring you're going to stink again next year automatically. Like, is that what the game plan is for Houston? Let's keep kicking the can down the road and eventually we get the true number one overall pick. Or maybe they're just not sold on these two quarterbacks and go, Caleb is our guy. Let's sit this one out, get a great defensive player, continue to just tank on offense, and away we go.
It's just for me, I don't see why Houston is going to force the issue. They're not being asked to compete next year at a high level, and I don't see the benefit to bringing in a quarterback that you're not in love with. You're very lucky if you get the opportunity to draft a second quarterback if you miss on the first quarterback. Make sure the guy's right. Make sure the guy's right. And then the question becomes, if the Texans aren't going to draft your quarterback, are they trading? Are the Raiders coming up? Are the Titans coming up or the Colts coming up to two to potentially draft C.J. Stroud? Because if people are willing to just sit tight, all of a sudden Will Anderson goes two. Then the Cardinals are on the board. And the Colts go, we're not trading up to three, what for? We're going to sit right here. So then the Cardinals go, all right, we're taking Tyree Wilson. We're taking a defensive player. Now the Colts are like, oh my God, three quarterbacks are on the board for us. All right, we'll take C.J. Well, all of a sudden now, Anthony Richardson and Will Levis are fallers. All of a sudden, they're dropping in the draft, right? Raiders take one of the guys. And then all of a sudden, Hendon Hooker now falls out of the first round. It has this huge ripple effect here, what the Texans do at two overall.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because we're getting a little bit too – we knew coming into it, it was a two-quarterback race. It was Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Like Anthony Richardson, yeah, we knew the talent there. And same thing if you want to say Will Levis. But it feels like we almost painted ourselves in the corner like all four of those guys are going to be top five draft picks. When we've seen years where it's like, hey, the number one overall pick is either going to be Alex Smith or Aaron Rodgers. Well, one guy went number one, Alex Smith. Aaron Rodgers damn near fell out of the first round when he was the other option of a coin flip to be number one overall. So something has to give here. Are we completely sold on a bill of goods? Because do we get caught up in the same thing that we saw last year? Yeah, by the way, Malik Willis, oh my, you see his way. Yeah, by the way, yeah, top 10 draft pick guaranteed. Nobody would touch him for a few rounds. Like, wow.
Right.
We didn't see that coming because we're not in the draft rooms where maybe those guys were like, I don't know what these pundits are talking about, man. We don't even have a fourth round grade on this kid. And you got him going number three overall for Mel Kiper or whatever.
And that's the biggest part of the Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder fall that we saw last year. It's one thing when it's like, oh, this guy fell out of the first round. None of these guys went in the second round. How was it that far off that they weren't even... Because usually it's like, oh my goodness, run, trade, go get him. And that's why I talk about this scenario where the Texans don't take a quarterback. The natural idea is, oh my goodness, Cardinals, what a win. They're going to sit there and the Raiders are going to call, the Colts are going to call, the Titans are going to call. And all those teams might be there like, nah. What for? We're not panicked, right? Like, the Colts are going to be like, we're not panicked. We're drafting Will Levis regardless. So then the Raiders are like, well, what the heck are we trading up for? The Colts are going to do something dumb. Cardinals aren't taking a guy. Mm-hmm. Titans can't get that far. All right, we're going to sit here. And all of a sudden, Anthony Richardson is on the board at 25. And you're like, whoa. What? I had a pick on Richardson that I thought was great value to go first overall. What just happened here?
Correct. No, it's absolutely right. And somebody is going to fall. We are going to get a surprise. It looks like a lot of the surprises might be taken out of who's going to be number one overall. But then again, when the college football season ended, okay, first pick in the draft is, you know, Chicago. We knew they weren't going to take a quarterback per se, but we knew that they wouldn't be stupid enough to not take a quarterback and still draft number one. They did the right thing, which means a quarterback-hungry team is in that number one spot. And there wasn't even, like, we knew C.J. Stroud was a good quarterback, but when the season ended, I was like, yeah, Bryce Young's the number one overall pick. And then you sort of see him there, and everybody likes to say, oh, you know what, too small, can't throw, can't do this. Meanwhile, forget about putting on the tape. They just try to knock you down, and he became the dog, and now he's back to the prohibitive favorite, like he was supposed to be anyway, it felt like.
And that's a good point in that this all started where it was supposed to be Bryce. Mm-hmm. And this always begs, I don't understand how these things happen with the NFL draft. How did the Panthers trade up to one, and all of a sudden C.J. Stroud's minus 320? What
because happened? Frank Reich never coached a shorter quarterback, so it was just a given that it was Stroud. You know what I mean? Like, how stupid is that? But that was the rumor.
Yeah, like, it's always so interesting. And that's why I love betting the NFL draft. I love following the NFL draft, really. I think it's very fun. And it's stuff like that, though, that puzzles. It really does. Because it's an information thing. We're betting on information. And I think it must be a scenario where, because I feel like my nature is to go, man, the sports books got it wrong. But what really it is they probably just took two bets on Stroud with the Bryce, you know, with the Panthers trade news. And they went, no, move. Like, I wonder who sports books need to go first overall, if that's even a thing.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, we're what? Basically a week and a half, right? I guess you could say. Next Thursday night is when it all goes down. I want to see where, because usually the latest moves are the ones that make the most sense. But was this move like a little bit too early to be late, if that makes sense? Because what was, do we see Trayvon Walker last year? You know,
I get almost like
that cascading, like, oh my goodness, 24 hours before the draft, he stormed to the top of the line.
Right. I don't remember, truthfully. I don't remember the exact timeline.
Yeah.
Was it a week out?
I don't think it was. I think it was the early week, like a Monday or a Tuesday, where he just stormed into the favorite spot.
It had, because remember, it was Hutchinson, though, right? Who was just like the
little Hutchinson was number one, easy. And nobody was even really talking about Trayvon. And at the end of the day, it was like, whoa, how did we miss this where the Jacksonville Jaguars were in love? Because, again, when you have the number one overall pick, all that matters is what your opinion is. You might think Anthony Richardson is the best quarterback and shock the world and take him one and say, well, we don't know what you guys were looking at, but he was the best quarterback we've seen in 15 years charred out.
I feel like that, by the way, still might happen. And again, like, I don't know if Bryce gets moved, but all of a sudden, like, us getting to that Thursday, and, you know, Bryce is minus 2,000 to go one, and also Anthony Richardson's minus 800 to go two. It just feels like that's all in play. Because that's the thing. Those wild swings don't only happen at one. They happen elsewhere in the, because once that first pick feels settled and obvious, then the rest of the stuff starts to leak out and feel concrete.
Yeah, it does. No, a lot of fun stuff to digest here. And NFL draft, certainly market movers all over the place. Bryce Young minus 750 at FanDuel. We'll see what that is tomorrow morning. Got an idea that is going to certainly be on the move as well. We'll be right back to wrap it up on Moneyline next. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get some picks involved. I'm going to take a look at the Major League Baseball card after the show. But in the NBA, I'm just tired of the disrespect. And I don't know why I feel like I'm the only person that feels like the Kings can win a series here. I'm just talking generality, like public opinion. Because the Avalanche is coming here on the Warriors in this game. Just looking at FanDuel, it's 89%. On another monitor I'm looking at, it's 83% across sports books wagering. So basically 83 out of every 100 tickets is coming in on Golden State in a game that you thought would have been like a free 10 points. Like, oh, Golden State's minus 10, but really it's just a pick. I'm like, no, it's a 2 1.5 point line depending on where you're shopping. But everybody is closing this as if Golden State is a shoe in the win. I don't think that's going to be the case. I said it this morning. You stink on the road all year. You'll continue to stink. And you already lost on the road. You're going to lose again. I'm taking Sacramento tonight. And again, updated number here. I'll take the 2 points here. That's where I'm going with that. JP, let them know where you're going.
Yeah, we're going to go with the De'Aaron Fox under the 27.5 for tonight.
There you go. K-Dub.
I got Sabonis over 18.5. Oh, Donnie, they're so good.
Ooh, another one popped up. Ooh.
On FanDuel. All right. DK scores quickly, okay?
Yeah.
Stephen Clay to combine for 9 threes. Stop the match.
Oh, it's tremendous. Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
Harden double-double plus 100 as well. Which is like minus 280 on FanDuel, okay? So those are musts. You got to be in on those, okay? Max, I think, varies between accounts. My max was 25. Max those out. Did also bet your Embiid, Steph Curry 60-plus boost. Yep. I've got Sabonis over 18.5. If I'm betting the other two games, I would go under Sixers-Nets first half. First half Kings-Warriors. Kings first half. I like the Kings to be up at the break.
All right, how about this one? Joel Embiid and Steph Curry, which we talked about, the score 60 points plus 120. The second one here, Mikal Bridges, 25 or more points. DeGrom to get 7 Ks, and McDavid to score a goal. Cross sports, 4-1, up from 280. Ooh. Now, what's the shaky one? Is that Bridges 25?
Yeah, I like his under personally, but... Does McDavid score every game? Like, give me a point.
Huh? There we go. It's all out there to be won. We'll see you tomorrow, once again, on Moneyline. Peace.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.